John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I think one time recently when I was here, I preached on heaven, and you may have thought as I read that text, oh, he forgot. He's going to preach on the same thing as he did before, but it is a different message. I want to concentrate on that phrase at the beginning in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." And you paraphrase that and say, don't worry. Seems like so many of our Christians, we're so worried and concerned and what's going to happen. And college students. I mean, you come in and, oh, man, you know, almost having a panic attack or what, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and frustration and anxiety and worry. And I think it's in our churches. But Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Again, you could paraphrase that easily by saying, don't worry. You got a troubled heart, you're all torn up. And just calm down. Jesus said, it's going to be okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and your promises. I pray that you'd speak to my heart, lead and guide my mind, help me to emphasize what I should and leave out other things maybe, lead and direct. Pray you'd speak to hearts while I speak to ears, and Holy Spirit, that you would help us to rest in you and have assurance that you're with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You go ahead and have a seat. Again, you could paraphrase that, I think, easily. Let not your heart be troubled. You got a troubled heart. You know, it's all stirred up and torn up. And the Bible says, wicked are like the troubled sea, talking about just moving and churning things up. Don't worry, Jesus says. The problem is that we do worry. And we worry about a lot of different things. I think a lot of times people worry about the future. It's the unknown and what's going to happen tomorrow. And again, as I get into our churches and as I talk to college students even, worried. And all of us, I mean, we have concerns. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Some people worried about the election. 2 years ago, we were really worried about it. We got a little bit of reprieve, and so now we tend to not get involved, not worry, and just, oh, it's all going to be okay because the last 2 years. But I don't, whatever happens, and that isn't a part of the message, but whatever happens in the election, our job is the same as Christians. I'm supposed to witness, try and get people saved, teach them to live godly lives, serve God. That's my job. Doesn't matter who the president or the senator or Supreme Court or anything else. Now, I hope that we have a government that will allow us to do it in peace and that I don't wind up in jail for preaching what the Bible says. But I'm supposed to preach what the Bible says, whatever happens. You know, my job is the same. But anyhow, we worry. We worry about the future and the unknown. A lot of the things as we worry about the future, worrying about things that we can't control. We worry about our health, what happens. And, you're young, and when you're young, I figured out, I tell the college kids something, when you're your age, college students, and a little older and a little younger than that, I mean, you realize, oh, yeah, someday I'll probably get sick. Someday I'm going to pass away. Someday that, but it's really not a part of your thought processes. When you're 20, 25, you realize, I'm not going to live here forever someday, but it's really not a part of what you're thinking about today. I mean, I got sick, I'll get well, everything is going to be okay. You get our age, every time you get a new pain or an ache or you something, and you go to the doctor and you think, man, is this it? and you don't know. I remember sitting in my doctor's office once, and I said, "So what is it?" And he said, "I don't know. Could be cancer." And you think, and it turned out it was. And it was real slow, kind, and so on. And I said, "Well, is it slow moving? Can I just put it off and get the surgery done later on?" And he said, "Well, you do that if you want to, but it is cancer." It was after they ran the tests and all that. So I said, "Okay, I'll get it done." Got it cut out, and it's gone, and likelihood of it coming back is less than 5%. And they say if it comes back, the kind I had, they'll cut it out again, and probably will never come back. But I figure, you know, less than 5%, we've all got better than 5% chance of getting some other kind of cancer anyhow. So, but you know, you worry. Worry about our health. Worry about our finances. Will I have enough money to make it? Will I be able to pay the bills this month? Is the car going to break down this month? Somebody going to get sick? I'm going to have unexpected bills. Dental work or whatever. I mean, just so many things. And the finances. Is my job secure? Am I going to lose my job? Is that... we're about our children and you're younger and will I have children? Will they be healthy? And the daily challenges of day-to-day living. You know, wonder what will happen. Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Worrying about what might happen. And sometimes, you know, some people are great at thinking the worst thing that could ever happen. You know, man, I mean, it's just going to, you know, this could happen. It could. But God doesn't want you to worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. Worry about failure. And, you know, will I be able to do this? Sometimes failure keeps us from doing what we ought to do. Somebody says, "Would you teach a Sunday school class?" Well, I'm not sure I could do that. Worried I'd fail. Worried I won't be able to take, you know, control of kids. Worried that I'll get up there and start talking, I'll run out of stuff to say, and I won't know. Or I'm worried if I... You know, pastor asked me to work on a bus route, or I don't know, and worrying about failure. Thing with the college students, a lot of times, you know, will I be able to pass my classes? High school students, you know, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen when I get done with high school? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? It's not just older folks that worry, young people worry. Will I ever get married? Will I have children? Will I be able to... You know, will my marriage work? Will it turn out good? Will it turn out not so good? All of us have seen examples of both cases where it turns out good and it doesn't turn out so good. Am I going to get married? Will I be happy? Will I, you know, I might fail. I might not be able to do what, and a lot of times worry and lack of peace and everything keeps us from puts fear in our heart, and we're afraid to do, and we don't do what God wants us to do. You know, if I move out someplace else, I remember when I was leaving Hiles Anderson and going out to a new ministry and thinking, what if this doesn't work? I didn't have to leave. Hiles said I could stay there the rest of my life, or as long as he was alive at least, and is all he could promise. I think I could have stayed longer than that. And thinking, man, what if this doesn't work? This could be embarrassing. And that really shouldn't be our thought. But I did think it. You know, suppose nobody shows up. Suppose we have 5 students. This could really be embarrassing. And again, that, you know, worried about being embarrassed if I'm doing God's will shouldn't really be what my concern is, but I thought it. And suppose this doesn't work. Suppose I can't. We worry about the future. We worry about failure. We worry about family. Our parents and our kids and our grandkids now, and parents, my parents, my wife's parents, both with the Lord. I guess I don't need to worry about them anymore. But what will happen to them, and what will they do, and what might happen to them? And I think a lot of our answers, a lot of our problems, and a lot of our worries center around our family and people we love, and what might happen to them, or what might. So what's the answer to all of it? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And the answer is believe in God. Hebrews 13:6 says, I think I marked that one in here. I guess I didn't. Hebrews 13, verse 6 says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hey, if God's my helper, I don't have to fear what man's going to do. I mean, worst thing to do is kill this body, and that's going to happen one of these days anyhow. When it does, I'm going to heaven. I'll be better off. I'll see Jesus. Been serving him a long time, never seen him. Get to see my mom and dad again. Get to see people that have influenced my life for decades. Get to see loved ones. Get to see people I've won to Christ through the years, most of whom I don't remember, haven't had much contact with them since, but they're going to be there. Get to see, heaven will be, worst thing. Lord's my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And if I don't have to be afraid. I have my confidence in God. And sing that little song. I know just as sure as I'm singing this song, I'm part of his almighty plan. I believe, so why should I worry or fret? He holds the future in the palm of his hand. There it is. I believe, so why should I worry or fret? He holds the future in the palm of his hand. He's never failed me yet. And I'm probably leaving some out, but I know just as sure as I'm singing this song, I'm part of his almighty plan. God's going to take care of me. I said, what if God can't see you through? Then I guess I won't get through. But God can see you through whatever you're going through. You and I don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Psalmist says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Hey, it's kind of nice in a way that he says, what time I am afraid. Doesn't matter what your fear was. If he said, when I'm afraid of finances, when I'm afraid of poor health, when I'm afraid of my enemy, but he doesn't list any of those. He just says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Doesn't matter what your fear is. The answer is trust in God. In God will I praise. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I can be secure in Christ. I can have a confidence and a peace, and I can know things are going to be okay. I don't have to worry and fret. You read through the Psalms, and again and again and again. You read through the Bible in general, but especially the Psalms. And one of those constant themes in Psalms is God's going to take care of you. My enemies rose up against me, and they were shouting, and they were putting on, and everything was going wrong, and nothing was going right. But God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to come and pick you up and set your feet on, pick you up out of a miry clay and set your feet on a rock, and I'm going to destroy the enemies, and it'll all be okay. Sometimes that happens while we're here in this life. Sometimes it'll wait until the end of life. But I know at some point God's going to pick me up. I'm going to stand in heaven. I'm going to be there, and it's all going to be okay. You say, well, I just, the wicked, they prosper, and the wicked do prosper sometime. But if you read the Bible, the difference between the prosperity of the wicked and the prosperity of the Christian is the prosperity of the wicked is short. It doesn't last. We sing a song, you know, I mean, we've got all these problems while those living around us are never molested, though in the wrong. And I think, man, what a lie. The wicked, I mean, they got all kinds of problems. Most of them don't stay wealthy for long, and the ones that do, I mean, it's still not 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I'm thinking of eternity. And if they stay wealthy, half the time they wind up like some of the movie stars, rocks, you know, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, all that. I mean, dying of a drug overdose because they have no peace. They can't even go to sleep at night. So boy, they prospered, didn't they? Remember hearing Nancy Sinatra say once on a television interview or something that she said, Elvis Presley told me, you know, Nancy, maybe I'd have been better off if I'd have just stayed in the church. And he would have. He wouldn't have been the king, wouldn't have had all his millions, but he might have had a wife that loved him and children that would rise up and call him blessed and enough peace to be able to go home and sleep at night. I mean, the wicked don't have anything I want, so they got money. Well, sometimes they do. On the other hand, you go out and pick up some of these bus kids that we were. I love bus ministry. Visit on a bus route just about, my wife and I do together, just about every week we're in Lexington. You say, boy, sin really got those families a lot, didn't it? Some of them. Some of them are solid, stable homes who pick up the kids. Do you see the result of sin and living in a wicked, godly life? And I mean, you just hurt for the children. You hurt for the parents. You want to say, man, why don't you just stop this? I mean, sin is not the answer to anything. And the wicked, I mean, they don't have anything you want. But again and again and again, as you read through Psalms, I mean, it's just a constant theme of the book of Psalms that God's going to take care of his people. God's going to bring us back to land. God's going to open the gates. God's going to build around a wall around the city. God's going to take care of us, and the wicked and the people that are fighting us, I mean, they're going to wind up not so well off. And again, it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But I know 100 years from tonight, those of us that are saved, we're going to be in heaven. Much better off than anybody who's unsaved. You know, we get to, but anyhow, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. If you think that through that passage in John 14, you don't need to turn to it. Most of us know it, can almost quote the whole thing. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Jesus is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to be crucified. And he's telling them, look, folks, things are going to get pretty bleak. Yeah, they didn't really, I mean, they should have understood the crucifixion, the resurrection, all that. I think between the teaching, the Old Testament teaching Jesus had done, but they didn't really understand it. And even when he died, they thought, you know, the idea was, oh no, what are we going to do? And Peter there, he didn't say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, and hey, you guys better not get too happy. 3 days from now, he's coming back out. You know? Matter of fact, they, you know, you didn't really see him. Stop teasing me is the way it went. They didn't understand it. And Jesus says, man, it's going to get bleak. You ever have bleak days in your life? I do. You know, you think, man, what's going on? Trying to do right. What's going on here? How come it's so bad? It's going to seem like all hope's going to be gone. And when he died, again, I mean, they didn't, again, as you read the Gospels there, they didn't really quite get it. We thought it was good, you know, he went and they killed him, and we thought he was the one that was going to deliver Israel. And now he's dead. And they saw him in the upper room, and he says, you know, don't worry, I'm not a ghost. Come touch me. It's really me. And but so Jesus is trying to prepare him for that, and he's saying it's going to seem bleak. Your hope's going to seem to disappear. But even when you can't see what I'm doing, I'm working for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Hey, when he died for our sins. And what seemed to, you know, to the world, they say, we finally got him. And even the disciples were discouraged and didn't recognize what was happening in that death. But it turned out to be the most wonderful thing in the world for all of us. That's what paid for our sins. It's going to be bleak. It's going to be difficult. But when you can't see what I'm doing, I'm still working for you. We're going to get through this. We're going to be together. God is going to see you through. Somebody says, well, what happens if God can't see me through? Then I guess I won't get seen through. But God can. Now, maybe not with good health and plenty of money and all that good stuff, but light of eternity, what does that matter? I mean, look, if there hadn't been a Red Sea and the difficulties and the impossible situation with the sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind him, and they thought, man, why did we get out here? We were better off back there as servants. At least we're going to all die. If there hadn't been a Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, there couldn't have been a miracle. If the ruler's son hadn't died, the rich ruler's son hadn't died, Jesus couldn't have raised him. If Lazarus hadn't died, Jesus couldn't have said, Lazarus, come forth. If Jesus hadn't died, we'd still be dead in our sins. I mean, difficulties come in life, but the obstacles, you know, are not the end. The obstacles, have to come in order for there to be victories. You're going to have a victory, you got to get over something. You know, victory doesn't come when there's no opposition. Victory comes when there is opposition, but we win out over it. And God wants to help us win out in our life. I don't have to be worried. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be broke tomorrow or have more money tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen here or there. I don't know what's going to happen to my health. I don't know if next time, and none of us do. Probably 25 years ago, I asked a doctor, I said, so can you tell me then that I don't have cancer? He said, no, nobody can tell you that. I can tell you you don't have any we can find. But anybody could have 3-4 cells, half a dozen cells just starting. Don't know. But you say, well, Brother Jorgensen, what do? You trust God. And again, if there's like the story there in Acts 27, 23 to 25, Paul was out in the ship and it was being thrown about in the ship and out in the sea and the sailors and everybody's worried and figuring we're all going to die. And Paul sees a vision at night and the angel of God tells him, it's going to be okay. You're all going to live. There'll be no loss of any man's life, but the ship's going to be destroyed. As long as you all stay on the ship, you're going to be okay. And Paul stands up and says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he said. I believe God. So, well, what if? Look, I believe God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to heaven. Say, Brother Jorgensen, you sound like that's a good, it is a good thing. So are you eager to go in the next boat? No, not necessarily. I tell you, whenever I go, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great place. So you really believe that? I believe God. And my wife's more interested in me staying here than I am. I'm wanting to stay here. I think she really wants me to stay here. I hope she does. Or maybe I'll go in sooner than I think, you know. But that's what's so nice would be if the blessed hope came and the rapture came, we all went together. Could leave without saying goodbye because there's nothing here that really matters. But why don't we say, look, I believe God. You get worried and anxiety and everything. I just wish I could talk to somebody. Talk to Jesus. Psalm 40 in verse 1. Psalmist says, you know, I talked to God and he inclined his ear unto me and he heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I'm glad when I have burdens and heartaches and fears and I don't know what to do, I can talk to somebody who listens. Sometimes you talk to people and you say, man, I don't know if they were listening to me or not. Sometimes I'm talking to students. I'm trying to advise them. Think, have you heard anything I've said? That happens to me sometimes. I'm watching a football, basketball game. My wife's talking to me. She'll say, have you heard anything I've said? Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. I'm glad when I talk to God, he listens. He hears me. I don't have to worry. I go to him and say, Father, you know, if you want to turn your Bible, maybe turn to Isaiah 26. Jesus says, and if you or don't, either way, if it's put away, Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4 there. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You want to have peace? Keep your mind focused on Jesus. You know when you have worry, when you're focusing on everything down here? Peace of God that passeth all understanding, Paul says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, you want to have peace? Focus on Jesus. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on, where'd it go, verse 3? Whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, your problem, my problem, when I'm worried and upset and anxious, I'm thinking about the money and the bills and the health and the problems and the frustration I have with a boss. And I don't have frustration with my boss, but you know what I mean. The difficulties. But if I keep my mind focused on Jesus, I have peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Hey, look. You back that one little song, I believe, so why should I worry or fret? He holds the future in the palm of his hand. He's never failed me yet. God will hear your prayer. God will hear our sorrow, our moaning. God will answer our prayer for encouragement. God's going to keep me safe. Sometimes you're young or so on, or maybe your wife and you're home alone and you're anxious in the storm and your husband comes home or dad gets home and you feel like, oh, good, it'll be okay now. Dad's here. God's here. It's better than dad. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. You know, the rich and the worldly and the carnal and everything else. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just right is an uprightness, and thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of me. I need to keep my mind on him. I need to remember, look, if I'm thinking about God, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Someday my body will die unless we have the rapture first. I'm not surprised this body's going to die. I did go have the surgery and have the cancer taken out. Then say, but when that happens, I'm going to heaven. Remember, you're saved. Remember, God's in control. comes into your life, God allowed it. But if you get preached the other night about Job, and or maybe it was College Chapel, one of the two, and all the difficulties that came into Job's life. And Job said, the Lord taketh, and the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, bless. But if you said, that isn't how Job felt. But it's what he decided to believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God saw him through. And God will see you through, and God will see me through. Been thinking about that song recently that sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know, if I'm just passing through, things going on around me don't matter so much. Yeah, on vacation, again, we left the other day. We've been a couple days in Evansville. And, if not having a big flood there right away or anything. But, if they said, they're going to have a flood here, I'd have thought, that's too bad. But I'm just passing through. It ain't going to affect me. So, they got forest fires out there, and times we've been traveling on tour or whatever, and you see forest fires here and there. And I thought, that's too bad. I don't want, you hate for anything to be destroyed, but, there's part of us all would feel like, but it ain't going to affect me. I'm just passing through. This isn't my home here. And we should be concerned about other people's homes and everything. But on the other hand, if I'm just passing through, or they may elect the wrong person to be mayor of this city, and he may come this way or that way, but if I'm just passing through, it doesn't really affect me. I'm just driving along. Mind my own business. I'm just, you guys fighting over here. Okay, I'm just passing through. Violence and this and that. And you think, I'm just passing through. I'm going to get out of this neighborhood. This isn't my home. I don't have to live in this. And, the problems and frustrations and cares of this life. I can feel like this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Doesn't make that much difference what happens around me here, because this isn't my home. I'm not here for long. I'm just passing through. And even when I go back and sleep in my bed in Lexington, Kentucky tonight, it's still not really my home. I'm just passing through here. Just a little longer to stay here and labor and so on. But I'm moving through. Say, Brother Jorgensen, you can feel that way because you're old. It doesn't matter if you're 15. You're passing through. You probably have longer to go than I do down here, but you're passing through. And be honest with you, none of us know who's going next. We're all just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, what I have here isn't what matters. What's up there is what matters. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me. Looking forward to going there. And again, just like if you said, there's forest fires in this area, but if I'm just passing through. There's going to be a flood in this area, but I'm just passing through. They got the wrong mayor in this area, but I'm just passing through. There are not many jobs in this area, that's too bad, but I'm just passing through. And you got stress and problems, live for others, live for God, put him first. Decide, God, I want to serve you with my life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Don't worry about it. Trust in him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God and assurance after assurance after assurance that we can have peace in our hearts, that you take care of us. Help us to rest in you and trust you. Value things as you value them and not worry so much about the things that'll make no difference in eternity, but to worry about things that will. Help us to live for you today, we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if maybe there's somebody here this morning would say, Brother Jorgensen, one of my biggest worries is dying. You talked a lot about dying and being in heaven, but if I were to die, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven, but I don't have that assurance. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would. Wonder if there's others that would say, God, I want to trust you more in my life. I have worried too much. Don't have the peace of God that I should have. Help me to trust you more. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? See several hands around the auditorium, young and old. And stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. In a moment, I'll pray. And then after I pray, the pianist will begin to play. When she does, if you raised your hand for prayer or have other needs and maybe something totally unrelated to the message, feel free to come down the altar and kneel and pray. Talk to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, the assurance and the peace that we can have in our lives. Thank you that the peace of God that passeth all understanding can keep our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus if we'll think about you, concentrate on you. Help us to relax, not worry. Pray if there is somebody here, hand I didn't see or whatever, not sure of heaven, they would settle that this morning. In Jesus' name.